just to be safe. All right, so the recording is on. And also, do you mind if I take your picture, just to put a picture with the recording?
No.
Okay. Ready?
Yes.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Good?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, it is made of lucky.
All right. Yeah, I'm satisfied. It's good. Great. So, what is your role?
The
regional
manager.
Okay, which region?
For Limpopo.
Say it again.
Limpopo.
Limpopo. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's the main one.
Yeah.
Okay.
The main one for Manufacturing Projects.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you kind of tell me, you know, how you got the job? Well, when did you start being regional manager?
2018 December.
2008. And what were you before that?
I was a zonal manager.
A what?
A zonal manager.
Zone manager. And before that?
The branch manager.
And before that, a DF?
Yes.
Okay. When did you get your DF job?
First day of the interview or the day I signed the contract?
Either one. They weren't that far apart, were they?
Yeah, they were at least 6 months apart.
Okay.
Yeah, but I joined this organization in 1998.
Wow.
Yeah, 11 September 1998.
Huh. Yeah. Ask how old you are?
Yeah, so that. Yeah, but actually, I'm in the DF in 1999 April.
Okay.
Yeah. After 6 months training.
Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
No, no problem.
How old are you?
I'm 30. I'll be 39 in November.
Okay.
I'm 38 currently. Huh. Born in 1971. So.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So, what were you doing before you got your DF position?
Before that?
Before you were DF, what were you?
I had a lot of projects that I was doing in that home, community projects.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been a bookkeeper for the community. I've been the... In short, I was not doing... I got a diploma from the teaching myself, from 1993 to 1995. So then...
From teaching yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had the, what they call, a diploma.
Okay.
But then you don't find that the job is not there, being a teacher, and then you find something challenging from self, and then end up bridging being with the Small Enterprise Foundation, working there at the DF, yeah. So
which diploma did you get in 95?
Senior Primary Teacher's Diploma.
Okay, Teacher's Diploma.
Yeah.
Okay. And before that, did you graduate grade 12?
Yes.
And so right after grade 12, you went for the teacher's diploma.
Yeah, but I finished my 1989 and 90. Yes, I'm there. Because I repeated in 1990, there were some subjects that I wanted to. I passed, but I was not satisfied about my performance then.
Oh.
So for 3 years, I said the diploma because I wanted to go to the university initially, but yeah. I did not have a good background. Financially, my parents were not sound enough. So I had to take something that is very easy, quick teaching. And yeah.
Okay. And where did you grow up? When you were a child, where did you live?
I live where I'm staying now.
Where are you staying now?
1 meter, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I grew up, for 15 years, I grew up in another village. We were relocated, you know, those days. When I was 15. But I grew up in Wamito, where I'm staying.
Okay. So when you were, before you were 15, you lived in a village where?
Around next to Wamito.
Okay.
Yes.
And was that, what kind of village was that? Was that like the villages that... that have CEF clients?
Currently they have CEF clients.
Yeah.
Then they didn't have CEF clients.
Okay.
Because CEF started operating in 1991.
Okay.
So, but I left that village in 1986. I was 15 years old by then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did you leave?
Well, it's because something to do with the parents. They have to leave because the school was too far.
Okay.
Shortage of water. The government neglected the place for a while because it was not
right
where there were lots of people. So we were scattered a little bit. So that place belongs to my grandfather, in other words. So I was a head man there. So, but because it was not the well developed, I had to leave, go where the school is near. Because their school was too far. So my parents wanted me to get better education by going where there are schools around here.
So do you think you got a better education than the people who stayed in the village? Do you think that your education was better than the people who stayed behind in the village?
No, I grew up in the village myself.
Right.
Yeah, I grew up in the village. It's just that where I was staying, the school was too far.
I see.
You understand? The school was too far. So it's not a matter of...
Right.
I was still in the village, but I didn't relocate to an urban.
Yeah.
No, I just went nearer to schools, nearer to the tap water, nearer to the transportation area. It's far.
Got it.
Yeah.
Who do you report to?
Martin.
Oh, he's the COO. Okay. All right. So what's the job? What do you do? What's it like?
Regional manager?
Yeah.
Being a regional manager, I'm responsible for four zones. The west, south, north, and the central zone.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've got four zonal managers who report to me. We have around 26 branch managers reporting to them. Around six personal managers. So this is the main heart of the organization.
Okay. So what do you do day to day? Like, what's a normal day for you like?
A normal day for me, we start with, of course, that is always the case, you start with the center meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But more, my day-to-day activities is more to understand the problems that are there in the region. What interventions can we make? What uniformity do we have as far as the problems in the region? What can I draw out from that? You understand? So, very difficult, but
okay.
Challenging, yeah. So, it's more of coordinating the works of the organization. Making sure that the organization gets the true reflection of what's happening in the field.
Okay.
I also am a member of the senior management team, so I represent the operations department in the senior management team.
Okay.
Yes.
So what happens when you know, have you had any times in the last year when you thought you weren't getting the right picture or when you had a problem?
Yeah, well, we had some problems last year.
Okay. What are some of the problems you've had?
Well, the global economic crisis that we had last year
had
a very negative impact on the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Because the portfolio at risk then shot up. And it was so disturbing. It was my first year being a regional manager last year in January. I mean, for the first 3 months when I landed this got this post, and that immediately led to lots and lots of problems. So yeah, that is, I can regard as the main challenging one for last year. Yeah, and also last year we also had the problem of the high staff turnover as a result of people leaving this job, going for another. That's a year before I became a reserve manager. So.
Why did that happen? Why did people leave?
No, then they left because I think we targeted, for me, we didn't target the right people for the job.
So okay.
Yeah, we didn't target the right people for the job. So okay. It's more of that because the people that we had, they had the degrees and the diplomas, so it's not easy for them to do a loan officer's work or DF's work. They rather take that as a bus stop, or as a means, as a stepping stone to other generation. So we didn't target the right type of people.
Got it.
I'll take it more on that.
So what kind of changes have you made? Have you made changes since then to make things better?
As a regional manager?
Yeah.
You mean just because being a regional manager?
I'm just saying, have you made changes to fix the problems with turnover?
Yeah, or on turnover?
Yeah.
Yeah, on turnover, yes. I think what we did is to start targeting the matriculants, those who are in grade 12. Yeah, so we started to do that. Yeah, we did get on top of things because of last year, we never, our turnover went down. I can say I'm very much happy about how things were as far as the turnover is concerned last year.
Okay. Do you ever worry that clients are taking on too much debt, paying too much interest?
Worried that they... I'm worried more that they take double loans.
That they what?
Take double loans. Take from self, take from another organization.
I see.
That is my main problem. But on...
Why are you worried about that?
Yeah, because it makes them over indebted. Mm-hmm. I mean, it creates tension in operations. You see, sometimes the client when supposed to pay us, she has to struggle, and that causes lots of errors. And our portfolio risk sometimes we shoot up. So, yeah, it affects a lot. Once the portfolio risk goes up, lots of areas also drop out. Once the dropout is there, no more penetration, no growth for clients. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you do about that?
About this one?
Well, what do you do to try to make sure that people don't take debt from too many places?
Well, it's just to always make sure that you run workshops with your RDS.
Okay.
Make sure that they are aware of this. Mm-hmm. Take these problems to down to the centers. You know what centers where, I mean, they also get this through workshops. What we did, I think, as an organization, I mean, that last year, or the past 2 years, we put in a budget for, allocated the budget specifically to run the workshops on double workshops instead of having one workshops where center leaderships are taught the basics of running in center. But nowadays what's happening, we have also have the budget whereby the branch manager can identify any training, just any training. It can be as a result of the vulnerability of the center.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
So I'm happy about the fact that the organization has put in a budget of some sort to address that.
Do you think that DFs ever put too much pressure on clients? Maybe to repay, to take out a lot of debt, to stay in the program, to do the things that DFs are measured by?
Not a lot of debt. We don't measure by how much you...
Well, measure by growth in clients.
Yes.
Okay. So pushing people, you know, here's what I wonder. DFs are rewarded for getting more new clients, so I wonder if they push people to join.
Yes.
They're rewarded for high repayment rates, so I wonder if they push people too hard to repay. And they're rewarded for low dropout rates, so I wonder if they push people to stay in the program even when it's not helping them.
Yeah, pushing clients to stay in the program, I mean, that is what we want. Unfortunately, you cannot escape on that one. I mean, if you have to run lots of workshops to convince the people to stay in the program, so be it. If we have to reach as many poor clients as possible, as much as possible, for them to join the program, if they are scared for them to change their mind that they must join the program, so be it. But on pushing the repayment, yes, you will push repayment when you haven't done your job right. Because like, say you gave a member a big loan.
Right.
Because we've got a way in which a client died. We have to do the business evaluation. The business evaluation will be an indicator to show us whether a client do qualify to take 1,000 rands or 2,000 rands or 3,000 rands. So once, if you don't do a job right somewhere there, you are likely to pay the consequences. The consequences will be very high because you will now start to push the clients to pay. But our clients pay their installment without being pushed. Because, yes, we do have problems here and there. But if we did our spade work right, it's like building a house. You need a foundation. If you don't have a foundation, if the house is beautiful, if it won't last long, we can't have. So even in this organization, if we did our job right, we did the good business evaluation, we did the progress meeting, there are some policies that we do, I don't know whether they are aware of those business evaluation, progress meeting, lots of those things that prepare clients to take a certain loan. So if that was done right, client won't have a problem to repay. She won't be pushed. Whether
right.
IGF is there or not, clients
right.
will
understand.
Repay. So it depends on whether people do the right things first. But the dropout, pushing them to stay, yes, I really want that.
You want that?
For them to stay in the program, yes. I really want them to stay in the program. I really like them to drop.
Do you think there might be people who, you know, it's not good for them to be in the program because they pay too much interest, perhaps?
No, the interest are very low.
Interest is, I think, like 80% a year.
80% a year?
Yeah.
No, I don't know that.
Oh, really?
80%?
Yeah.
In all
per year? Yeah.
In a year?
Yeah.
No.
What is the interest rate?
It's 20%.
20% a year?
No, in 6 months.
Okay. Does that include
60%
all the...
60% in 4 months. So 80% a year? No. I think you got your text wrong. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not this organization that we talked about. What is this country? I can't remember. Where they're nearly paying 100% interest, not incentive.
What about if you include the fees and everything?
Yeah, but not 100, not 80%.
Okay, I thought that's what it was.
No, check
that.
No. Just go and recheck that. 80% a year. No.
I mean, even 20% in 6 months is, you know, if someone doesn't really need the loan, that's a big loss of money.
If you don't need the loan.
Right, and so I wonder. I mean, basically, if someone wants to drop out of the program, they should drop out. And
why?
Why
did they join it first?
Well, they might have needed a loan before, or maybe they don't need one now.
For what?
For the business.
Yeah.
So maybe
what was the main aim of you running the business?
What'd you say?
What was the main aim of you running the business? What
to
was
make money.
To get money?
To make money, I understand. For what? What do you mean?
Make money for what?
Oh, for, you know, school fees, food, living expenses.
Living expenses?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So, in 6 months when you draw, did you able to fulfill those dreams?
Well, I think everyone's different. I just wonder if there's people who shouldn't be in the program and get pushed to stay in.
The fact is that when you join this program,
mm-hmm.
we do what we call the impact monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
We check the status of your house. We check the status of your foods. Everything, family, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So once you join the program, a good development facilitator or a good GF
mm-hmm.
would like to check those things.
Right.
How are you progressing? I don't know whether you understand me, Nicole.
Okay.
You understand?
I understand you so far.
You check the progress.
Right.
So if there is no progress,
yeah.
Or a progress is very little.
Yeah.
And then the GF must make sure that he or she motivates this client to check why the client is not getting out of poverty.
Right.
The main aim of this organization is to bring clients out of poverty. So if you drop from the program, surely you must be dropping because of my service, which is poor. But not that now you are satisfied. Now you've got a loan, or you think you no longer need money.
But do you think DFs always do as they should? Do you think DFs are always looking at progress out of poverty?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You don't think there are any DFs who are maybe just trying to get by on their metrics and they don't care about progress out of poverty?
The problem is we have such people who will do that. You know, in big organizations, I wouldn't lie to you. I mean,
right.
Even in big organizations, there are people who like to cheat.
Right.
Okay. But why am I there? Why my supervisor managers are there? Why 26 of my branch managers are there to check that?
Right.
Why the QA is there? The QA is coming there to check that.
Right.
Whether this information is correct. If you find that this information is not correct, you will be falsifying the information. I think the penalty is very dear.
But the information that DFs are judged on is, as I understand it, is growth in clients.
Yes.
Portfolio risk,
yes.
And retention rates,
yes.
Not progress out of poverty.
not progress out of poverty, but giving us the correct information.
Right. So they could be, giving you the correct information.
Correct.
And they could be, you know, having low portfolio risk, low dropout rates, and high growth by pushing people to join the program even when they don't really need the loans or the loans aren't really helping them. Is that something you ever worry about?
No, I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
I wouldn't say I'm not worried or worried. But the fact is, before you join the program, you must have been identified on it, whether you fit to join our program. So not everyone must join our program.
Right.
Because we do what we call the PWR. I don't know whether you know the PWR.
The what?
The PWR.
Yeah.
Do you know the PWR?
It's checking what the loans were used for?
No.
No. Okay.
The PWR is participatory wealth ranking. This wealth ranking is there to show us who in the community is eligible to join our program. That's first. Who in the community is eligible to join our program? Which family in this community must join our program?
Right.
Because that one is an indicator to show us that these people can join the program and these cannot. So you cannot, even if you want the loan, but you don't qualify,
right,
you won't join.
Right.
So if you are qualifying to join the program because you are poor, the main aim of why our GFs are there is to go and recruit these poor people.
Right.
Show them that self is there for them. Remember, they have been chained by the Mashonisa. You know the Mashonisa?
The moneylenders.
The moneylenders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they charge them this 80% interest that you're talking about.
I see.
The 50% interest. Mm-hmm. So for you is to convince them that self is not the moneylender.
Right.
This is a program that is there to take them out of poverty.
Right.
So first they are pushed to join the program because they must help their families. It has been proved that surely they are poor. Some of them don't have husband. No income is generated at home. So as such, they need to join our program. Our GFs are there to go and make sure that they convince these people to join our program. Staying in the program, that has to go with what is it that you want to achieve. When you do the impact monitoring, the client will sure tell us, I'm not happy about this, that's my house. My house is, every time when it's raining, it's leaking. I'm not happy about the status of my children's school fees. I mean, they are not going to school well. Sometimes I pay school fees late. I don't have uniform. My children don't have uniforms. Too many. My husband is not working.
Mm-hmm.
So we motivate you to stay in the program. That you must motivate. Our job is to motivate you to stay in the program. So there is no way that you won't be saying, oh, you'll be pushed to stay in the program. Yes, I can push you to stay in the program, maybe reduce the loan. But that is our job, that the clients must stay in the program.
Do you think that all poor people should be in SEF if they're in the villages?
Yes.
Okay.
They must be there.
All
I think they must be there. But it's just that, of course, in my, to have got this in my culture, you only wake up those who are prepared to stand up.
And it's a very small number of them, right?
Those who?
Well, the most people in the villages are not in SEF.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? If you think they all should be.
I think they should be.
All of them should be. Yeah. But most of them are not.
Some of them are not, yes.
Most of them are not.
Most of them, yeah, are not, yes. Agreed with you.
Right. So why do you think that is?
I think that depends more on our loan officers.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of them, they cannot be there. It's just like...
You don't have enough loan officers.
No, we have. I would even say that. It's just like when you ask me this question.
Mm-hmm.
You go to church every day, but why not all the people are not going to church?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that.
I got it.
Okay. So I think your question is that why people are not going to church, whereas do you need more pastors or do you need...
Right.
It's not about that.
Right.
things just happen, or maybe it's because the GF thinks, ah, I'm lazy, after all, I got the number that I want.
Right.
So they want, my target is 70 groups, and I've got 85, I'm getting commission of 85, ah, thanks, I'm fine. Let me just relax, I don't have to push myself extra.
Right.
Go an extra mile, after all, my job, whatever, that I, there are other things that I need to do, not to target other newcomers. No, when something, not, it's not more the fact that we, they are not, we are not enough, or the loan officers are not enough, but remember also the budgets, we need to look at the cost per client as such.
Right.
We have lots of people who are managing too many people doing too little job. That they are.
Right.
You see.
So do you hope that someday everyone in these villages will be in SAF?
No, I think to wish for that is like wishing for that everyone.
That everyone will
change.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But I wouldn't. I'm not. Yeah. Well, I'm not worried where other people don't join. But of course, my main aim is to see that, make sure that we keep those what we have.
Right.
I think, yeah. But yeah, one day, you never know, they will all join the program. Yeah.
All right. How do you go out in the field often?
Yes.
Okay. What do you do there? Just check on things?
Yeah, well, more is to check whether people are working what we always discuss. Whether things that we try to come up with in the region, whether they are happening. It's more of a spot check. More to understand the field.
Right.
You know, you cannot make a policy if you don't know in the what's happening in the field. So for me, I'm the eye of the organization. See what changes can we make. Mm-hmm. Being in the field more, it makes my managers to also think that way. Let me go to the field. After all, my boss has been there. So, mm-hmm. But I do go to the field. Yeah, depending on how the meetings are, if the meetings are hectic, well, you do the regional manager's work, which is to meet you guys, meet other heads of department, go to conferences, workshops, yeah. But yeah, if there's no such things, my day will start with the center meeting, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, because I'm paying in the operations.
And what languages do you speak?
My home language.
Which languages do you speak?
Shangani.
Shangani?
Sotho.
Sotho.
Bedi. Swana. Venda.
So when you go to these meetings, you usually, you can talk to people, you understand everything?
Yep.
Okay.
Almost everything. English.
Okay. What do you think is the most difficult part of your job?
Difficult part of my job? But, you know, more of when we take time to implement things that are vital in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
You see, sometimes reach a stage where you come up with something in the operations. But you find that it takes time to be digested, to figure out, you turn down to the people. I tend to be worried about that.
Right.
Yeah. I tend to be very worried about that. When you have to pass something in the operations meeting today, and sometimes maybe take 30 days to reach.
Right.
Yes. It gives me peace of mind. Yeah. That is gives me a problem, can give me a sleepless night.
Huh.
Yeah.
What do you do about it?
Yeah, well, I think more what I've realized is more of I add the issue of every time I discuss with someone, we document it. Must have an action plan, deadline, when is this going to go down, when the branch managers are going to implement this. So it's more of having less of deadline and checking.
Right.
When you go to the field, you'll check, you'll see whether people are indeed working what you discussed last time.
Okay. A couple more questions.
No problem.
Yeah. What hours do you work? What days and what times do you work?
Monday to Friday.
Monday through Friday. What time?
You see, all that in the operations there is no time.
Okay.
Not easy to have a time.
Alright.
Yeah, not easy.
Okay.
But the organization will start work from 8 to 4:30.
8 to what?
4:30.
8 to 4:30.
But sometimes you can wake up at 5 o'clock, go into the field. You knock off sometimes at 6. But yeah, my time starts from 8 to 4:30. Yeah.
Okay.
But sometimes 5. You never know, sometimes 3 o'clock, you never know, I don't have lunch like today. Went to lunch, I was still, I'm driving from Twando, which is about 170, around nearly 200 kilometers.
What do you think you'd be doing if CEF didn't exist?
What I'd be doing?
Yeah.
I'll be more on business. I'll be running
business.
My own business. Yeah.
Okay.
I've got also the ambitions for my business. I've got a plot of land that I want to.
Okay. What kind of business?
Maybe I'm growing chickens. My wife loves me. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's all my questions. Do you have any questions for me?
No.
Okay. Well, no problem then. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Really appreciate it.